One cold night, the sound of a strong knock on the door reverberates through the air. Going outside, you see the hunched form of a beggar asking for shelter. Is your instinct to indulge his request, or shut him out into the dark? In the part of the poem I will be reading, Odysseus has finally been delivered to Ithaca by the Phaeacians, despite the best efforts of Poseidon to keep him from arriving there. Upon landfall, Athena comes to Odysseus and assists in hiding the myriad gifts bestowed upon him by the generous Phaeacians. Once this task is completed, she instructs Odysseus to go to the home of the swineherd Eumaeus. Athena disguises him in order to appear as an old beggar because immediately announcing his presence on Ithaca would not be advantageous for Odysseus and his household, given that they are essentially being held hostage by a throng of vicious suitors. This passage demonstrates the underlying dynamics behind the guest-host dichotomy present in the Homeric world, which is known as xenia. The relationship of a traveler or foreigner to a host is principally characterized by radical generosity. A host in Mycenaean culture is obliged to provide the guests with gifts proportionate to the status and position of the host. If the host happens to be a wealthy warlord, then the gifts bequeathed are expected to be extravagant. However, a poor tenant farmer, for example, would not be able to provide such opulent presents. A simple meal or hand-woven garment, as would befit their station, should suffice. There are multiple practical reasons for the seemingly excessive guest-host behavior. In the Bronze Age, traveling was difficult at best, and deadly at worst. Lack of infrastructure made journeys long and arduous. There was also very little central authority or rule of law to punish wrongdoers, making the roads that did exist extremely perilous. Having friends far from home would make it more comfortable while completing a long journey. The guest-host relationship would facilitate the formation of close friendships with far-flung strangers who, in theory, would help the traveler in an hour of need. Now, there's also an ideological aspect to this guest-host relationship, in addition to the practical applications. In the passage, Eumaeus says that all strangers and beggars are protected under the aegis of Zeus. Disrespecting a guest, to a Greek, would be comparable to disrespecting Zeus himself. Part of this attitude is shaped by the belief that any traveler who appears at your door is a gift from Zeus, as you will see in the passage below. In some cases, a traveler might not be a gift as much as they are a test. Zeus, as the master of fate, has the power to change the life of anyone. By sending a stranger to one's house, Zeus gets the chance to judge the host's actions. When, by the hand of fate, the former host becomes a guest in a strange land, they would reciprocally receive good or poor treatment in turn, based upon how the host acted at an earlier time. In this way, xenia is founded in a strong belief in the power of reciprocity and a sort of fatalism. In this passage, Homer shows the importance of adherence to guest-host custom. By emphasizing the shagginess of Eumaeus' bed and the paucity of his belongings, Homer paints a picture of a very poor man, who is not much better off than the beggar before him. Despite this, Eumaeus gives Odysseus all the care he can possibly afford him. It would be so easy for Eumaeus to turn Odysseus away, but the importance of xenia causes him to sacrifice a significant amount for an apparently insignificant person. This does the job of exhibiting Eumaeus' piety, and is included by Homer to act as a contrast to the atrocious actions of the supposed aristocratic suitors. Eumaeus, a slave character that shouldn't theoretically be very well versed in heroic behavior, is portrayed as acting more appropriately than the suitors, who should know better given their station. The suitors' actions towards Odysseus later in the poem are made to seem that much more terrible if a simple swineherd performs the customary greeting of a guest, and they do not. Another interesting feature of this part of the epic is when Homer uses the second person to refer to Eumaeus. Commentaries are unsure of the purpose behind this choice, but it has been speculated that this was included to increase the pathos, or power, behind the scene. It is also possible that this was chosen to imply that everyone, including the reader, was expected to act in the way that Eumaeus did, i.e., being receptive to guests and courteous at every turn. All right, here's the passage in the ancient Greek and my own personal translation. Hos epon klisien de hegesato dios hufurbos, eisen de eisagagon, hropas de hupecue daseas. Estoresen de epiderma ionthados agriu aigos, autu en union megakaidasu, caere de Odysseus, hoti men hos hupedeceto, epos te ephat, ecto onomadze. Zeus toi doe xene, kai athanatoi theoi alloi, hoti malist ethelis, hoti me proferon hupedexo, ton de apame bomenus, prosefes, imae subota. Xen, umoi themis est, ude cacion sethen elfoi, xenon atimesa, proscar dios eisen hapantes, xenoite tocoite, dosiste oligete filete, gignitae hemetre, hegard moon dice estin, ae dedioton, Hot epikrateosin anaktes honneoi. And here it is in English. Speaking thus, the noble swineherd led him to the hut, brought him inside, made him sit, poured out underneath him shaggy bushes, and spread upon it the skin of a shaggy wild goat, thick and hairy, on which he sleeps. Odysseus rejoiced because he was received thus, called out his name, and said, May Zeus and other deathless gods grant to you, stranger, that which you wish for most, since you welcomed me with eager mind. You, swineherd Eumaeus, replied to him, Stranger, it is not proper for me, even if some other person worse than you came, to dishonor a stranger, for all beggars and strangers are from the side of Zeus. Our gift to them is small and welcome, for this is the lot of slaves, when young lords rule over them as they do now.